The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
So it's a very recent statist notion, parents should be cut out and that it should be bureaucrats. And it flies in the face of common sense, flies in the face of history and tradition, flies in the face of our nation's legal system. And it is contrary to, I think, everything that any parent would want for their own children.
Because the more we are silent, the narrower becomes the space for these fundamental freedoms of speech and religion.
Jesus doesn't walk 99% of the way to the cross and then say, all right, now I'm going to throw some guy who was minding his own business and not bothering you and had nothing to do with this. I'm going to throw him on the cross and he's going to die for your sins. That's the student loan model. It's not the Christian model.
Retired intelligence agents love issues, etc. I can say with a high level of confidence that your biblical analysis is spot on.
My generation, the baby boom generation, is rightly criticized for disregarding the ideas, the mores, the morals, and much of the accomplishments of the generations that came before them. Although I will say that subsequent generations are doing exactly the same thing, hence the phrase, okay, boomer. But what if what our forefathers did and built was actually God's way of preparing us to face the challenges that we face today as a church? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future of confessional Lutheranism with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll spend some time with Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson on Gideon's defeat of Midian in Judges chapter 7. And then our series on the book of Exodus continues with Dr. Reed Lessing, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. Joining us to talk about the past, present, and future of confessional Lutheranism, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of the forthcoming column for the Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you.
You start with the doctrine of vocation. You say that when a Christian takes up his work, he does it in a Christian way. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the vocations that God gives us are where he places us. There's no question about who I should serve or even what I should do in many respects. God places us in a family, in a church, in a community, and he directs us outside of ourselves to serving others in vocations that are honorable and God-pleasing.
So why was the doctrine of vocation so desperately needed at the time of the Reformation?
At that time, it was believed that the trajectory of church was from the Christian to God. It was part of a sacrificial system where you would do what you could to earn additional merit, and the priests and others were the holiest people. They had the real vocations, and other vocations where people just followed the Ten Commandments were secondary. Luther changes everything. The trajectory is turned on its head. God serves us in his word and sacrament through the vocation of called pastors, and we in turn serve our neighbor in our vocations. And it freed up and also meant that the vocation of changing a diaper or serving the neighbor in any of a thousand different ways were absolutely recognized as divinely given, divinely wrought, and God's gifts to our neighbor through us.
Is that doctrine still needed today?
It is absolutely needed. I think especially today when people are confused about who they should be or where they are or where they've been placed, to be able to know clearly that my neighbor's need is my call, my vocation to mercy. My vocation is most of the time not far off. It's not about dreaming about being elsewhere. Yes, God gives us opportunities to look for a way to serve people in far-off lands and far-off places. But more often than not, our vocations are right in front of our nose, and that's where we serve God.
You say that the Lutherans who immigrated to America, our theological forefathers, knew that it takes a Gemeinschaft to raise a Christian. What is that? What does it mean?
Gemeinschaft is the word for fellowship in German. It takes a community, same word. The church is often called a Gemeinschaft by Luther. It's pastors and people. Many of the early missionaries came as part of colonies, not only to Perry County, but also into Michigan. And they knew it took pastors to care for people and tradespeople and people with different expertise and different skills and vocations to serve one another. And they also, when new immigrants came, at the Pilger houses, these pilgrim houses in on the East Coast, Baltimore and elsewhere, they sent those German immigrants to Lutheran communities where there was a Lutheran church across the United States, because it takes people to care for, raise children in the faith, to help each other in various ways. And this became a very vibrant reality for many, many Lutherans.
Talk about what that immigrant generation of Lutherans began to build here in America.
Well, first and foremost, they built a church that has lasted with all of our strengths and weaknesses, and many weaknesses and warts. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is virtually the only church which was planted as a confessionally Lutheran church and has retained its public confession as a confessionally Lutheran church to this very day. You can criticize our fathers all you want. People criticize them for the myth that they didn't speak English or weren't concerned about people who spoke English. That is absolutely false. But today, we hold fast the public confession because Dr. Walther and the founders of the Synod laid a foundation that has been tremendous and tremendously blessed. And there were many other institutions founded, preschools and schools and Sunday schools and fellowships for caring for people, old folks' homes, congregations, insurance agencies, all those kind of things. Many of those institutions have remained faithful to this day to the mission of the Lutheran Church, for which we give great thanks. And they've been an amazing blessing and continue to be an amazing blessing to thousands and thousands of people.
So how has what they began to build and built become, in essence, our inheritance? We didn't work for this. We just got it from our forefathers.
It is. Hermann Zassa said you can't hand the confession on like a copy of a book to the next generation. It has to be lived. And God has been merciful to us that we've had good teaching through all the decades and centuries. LCMS pastors who are well-educated, teaching the faith to the next generation, and the Lord using that teaching in the midst of life's vicissitudes, challenges, and difficulties to bring people, keep them in the faith until their dying day. So it's a tremendous gift. These are unbelievable gifts that have been given to us. If we depart from the faith, and that happens anytime you hear an institution talking about, well, our history is one of service. Oh, that's fine, but if you don't talk about Lutheranism or you've lost the gospel, the precious atonement of Christ shedding his body and blood, shedding himself on the cross, lose the sacraments, lose the proclamation of the gospel, there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved, you're not Lutheran anymore and you're not even Christian.
Talk about what our synod is and also what it's not.
The synod is church. It is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, insofar as it is a communion of congregations. And these congregations confess the same doctrine. They are in fellowship with one another. We practice closed communion because it's important for people to know that they receive Christ's body and blood, true body and blood, for the forgiveness of sins. And that takes instruction. Our confessions say repeatedly, no one should be admitted to the sacrament unless they first be instructed, taught, and examined. But secondarily, the table. In fact, Paul calls the Lord's Supper a communion. That table is a confession of unity in the faith. And so that our synod certainly is. There are many things that the synod does which are adiaphorous. The synod itself is not mandated to exist. The synod, insofar as it has health plans, insofar as it does schools, insofar as it has various oversight responsibilities, even ecclesiastical supervision is not mandated that be done in this way. But it is something done out of freedom in the way we do it, and it's a blessing.
How is what our forefathers left to us great preparation for something they probably never could have anticipated, and that's the hostilities we face in America as Christians today?
I think we underestimate the hostilities that they in fact faced. They faced grave challenges already in Germany, many of them, many of the founders of the synod, great rejection, grave attacks by the state and other Lutherans and Christians in various churches that had different views on what the Bible really is or what the Lutheran confessions are. And also they faced great difficulties being immigrants to this country. There are many cases where these German speakers were ridiculed, persecuted, and driven out of public space, segregated, had attacks made on their schools because they spoke German. So our forefathers suffered a lot in that regard. But the challenge we have today is amplified. We face a culture that is unbelievably hostile. In the past century, we could say for the most part, natural law was agreed on by most everybody. 1991, the Commission on Theology of the Missouri Synod could start its document on homosexuality that saying we rejoice that the government generally has the same view as the Bible on homosexuality or natural law. That, of course, has turned 180 degrees today. And we face great ridicule and pressure at every turn, especially on social media. Our children face it in every school, public schools. Our professional teachers who teach so wonderfully in so many public schools and offer a salutary influence there face the pressure. Our people are facing it in the workplace as they try to navigate making a living while being under intense scrutiny and threat of dismissal just because they hold to the Christian faith. And I've talked to people and receive information from them all the time that they have those struggles in major corporations. So this is the way of the Christian. This is probably mostly going back to way the way being a Christian was in the earliest times and in opposition to the state and under constant threat.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about the past, present, and future of confessional Lutheranism. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to get into a verse from the book of Esther that's applicable here right after the break. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Come and hear abortion survivor Melissa Odin, Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life, and Blaze TV and radio host Steve Dace at the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday and Saturday, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Lutherans for Life National Conferences provide valuable information and encouragement to you, your congregation, and your community. The 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Learn more at lutheransforlife.org/conference.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the past, present, and future of confessional Lutheranism with Pastor Matt Harrison. He's author of the forthcoming column for the Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. Folks, we plan on sending out the next Issues Etc. journal with President Harrison's column and Pastor Will Wheaton's essay on praying the Psalms later this week. We'll send you the free online Issues Etc. journal. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the red subscription button on the right-hand side. Click on that and enter your email address, and the journal will be sent to you absolutely free. Issuesetc.org. Look for the red subscription button. Matt, what does the book of Esther teach us about the church's life in a hostile culture?
Well, the king had an advisor, and Haman is his name, and he coaxed the king into really taking a hard line against the Jews. Mordecai wouldn't bow down, and Haman convinced the king, Xerxes, to put an edict together that all Jews are to be killed. The king didn't know that his own queen was a Jew, and Mordecai, her uncle, pled with her in the context of that difficulty. He said, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do you think that because you are in the king's house, you, Esther, alone of all the Jews will escape? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this? And indeed, she interceded for her people, and they were spared. So each of us faces our moment. We are constantly being called on the carpet and feel like it, even when we're trying to be silent and trying to mind our own business. But the fact is, you are called. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. We will speak wisely. We will be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But we shall confess Christ. And we will confess Christ for good. And the Lord will work his will and do what he pleases. But we are here at this moment, at this time, to speak Christ. And that is the free forgiveness for all. As our world descends more into chaos, the chaos of sexual confusion, identity confusion, harassment, immorality, and general dissensus and anger, we are the city on the hill, a place where there's forgiveness for all, and all are welcome. And that is our blessed vocation. To speak Christ.
What can we learn from those forefathers of ours that we've been talking about when we're facing these hostilities?
Oh, boy, these guys were tough. These men and women were tough. They had their weaknesses. They suffered nervous breakdown. They had all kinds of challenges in life every single day confessing the faith. There were difficulties during the German wars. Difficulties at every turn in one way or the other, and they held to the faith. That is everything. What profit of man if he gained the world but loses his soul. They retained their souls by divine gift, and we shall too in the midst of all this. Stick to the scriptures, stick to the Bible. The Bible's clear. Don't move away from the Word of God. If you do, you shall be totally adrift.
There will be a lot of, and are already a lot of, refugees from this culture. How are we as a Lutheran Synod greatly equipped to help those who are being harmed?
We have so many blessings. We have the Word of God preached in our pulpits, taught in our Bible classes. We have so many people who love those around them, have families that need Jesus. I see it at my congregation all the time. Doors are open. Opportunities are given to share. And since this article was written, I had a great experience at the Nebraska District Convention. This elderly farmer came up to me after I spoke, and he says to me, "Pastor, I got to tell you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I see people hurting. I see young people, Pastor, I just know it when I see it. They're hurting." He said, "Pastor, I give them a catechism." I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. You give them the little pamphlet of Luther's catechism?" "No, Pastor, I give them the whole thing." And then he told me how he carries around in his pickup truck the new 2017 LCMS catechism, and he hands it out whenever he finds people who have religious questions. I tell you, after I met him, I went down to CPH and I bought a dozen catechisms. By the end of the day, I'd gotten rid of three of them. And I got two people I'm doing confirmation with right now because of that. That's what we do. Get the catechism. It's so clear. The Word of God is so clear. And the catechism is such a blessing. Talks about the sexuality issues. Talks about what to do if your marriage is in trouble. Talks about abortion. What to do if you've had an abortion or caused an abortion. Those kind of things. All kinds of different issues. It's just the clear, pure Word of God. And it is so salutary. We do a lot of other things. People have no idea what the Missouri Synod does on a daily basis. Since an earthquake hit southern Haiti about a year ago, through about a dozen LCMS partner church congregations, we have fed 360,000 meals to Haitian people who are in need. That's just one speck of what the national church does together. People ask me all the time, what is the Synod doing about racism? Well, consider this. We have 6,000 congregations, 5,700 active pastors, 20,000 teachers every day teaching people, according to the catechism, that racism is sinful and wrong, and that we should love all people. And what Paul said is true. Through one man, God has created all the nations of the earth, and that the blood of Jesus Christ covers all. Everyone is as valuable as the blood of Jesus. That's fabulous. And I could go on and on and on talking about those things. They are great opportunities. And that's why people are coming to us. They continue to come to us constantly, and they will continue to do so as we hold fast the Word, hold fast the treasure given to us.
Matt, you have served as the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod 12, and I believe due to pandemic delays, going on 13 years. Are you looking forward to continuing to serve as president?
Well, I really had to give this some serious thought and prayer, consulted with my family, and I've decided I will stand again, and I'm excited about the future. We have been blessed in so many and various ways. The Synod is in good shape. We have many weaknesses and challenges. There's no doubt about that. The demographics we've made clear to everybody, and yet, our world mission is vibrant. We're sitting on the verge of a great church planting effort in the United States, and we are blessed financially. We're in the best shape we've been in 175 years. Every day I get up and say, what do we need to do today? And just one day at a time, do the right thing. God help us. Amen. We've got challenges among us. We've got a lot of the woke issues troubling at the fringes, and we can't give into this business, even as we confess that we care for all people. We cannot take on the philosophy of the world as we proclaim the gospel. It will swallow us hook, line, and sinker, as it's done to so many others. God preserve us. And we continue to work on that challenge, and we'll continue.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a forthcoming column for the Issues Etc. Journal titled For Such a Time as This. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. It's always a great pleasure. Issues Etc. is a grand blessing, and I'm delighted that you have the vocation you do.
Up next, Pastor Tom Baker will teach a Sunday school lesson on Gideon's defeat of Midian in Judges chapter 7. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
If you were to travel back 500 years to the Wartburg Castle, you would find an odd sight. Junker George, that is, Knight George, sequestered away in the castle, translating the Bible into German. Who was this odd knight? None other than Martin Luther, during the time he was hidden away in the Wartburg Castle, and during which time he started translating the Bible into German. To learn more about this work and its effect on the world and on Christianity, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further into Genesis with creation of man, blessed Sabbath, the breath of life, to work and to keep, and a helper. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.